Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's episode on Friday, June the 5th. First up, Kent Police have told the Kent Online Podcast how they're going to be using targeted operations this summer to tackle antisocial behaviour. It's been a particular problem during the warm weather, especially on the Kent coast.
You're going to be dispersed from the area, that being obviously the alcohol is going to lead to increased ASB, crime and sorting out in the area, having a clampdown on it. So this is a direction for you to leave the area, show you the boundary on the map. You are not to return for 48 hours, okay? If you do so, could lend you liable for arrest, okay?
If there's been antisocial behaviour or we think you're going to be involved in antisocial behaviour, we can disperse you from the area, okay? He's just explained that you've been found with alcohol, you've been instructed that you're going to be asked to leave if you've seen again, and then you've been seen, So if you just go home and don't come back here, if you do come back, you can get arrested.
Okay.
You know, if you keep doing stuff like this, you're just going to get in trouble and it's going to affect your life. You understand that, don't you?
Yeah.
That's from police footage captured in Broadstairs and Margate. Officers are now stepping up patrols and using dispersal orders to move on anyone causing trouble.
Just an update. There is a number of youths here, all with alcohol, etc. Is the inspector able to consider a 34 for this area, please? How old are you? How old are you?
17.
So should you have beer then?
This is not beer.
Give me the beer.
It's not beer.
Give me the beer.
Taste it, it's not beer.
That is definitely beer.
Taste it.
Now go that way.
You should not be drinking on
the job. Go that way. Go that way. Go that way. Walk away. Keep moving.
Now, Paul Stoner is Kent Police's District Commander for Canterbury. He's been telling us the sort of things they're dealing with.
It is varied, it is seasonal. So in the summer months, we will see the loud music, these music systems that are set up on the beachfronts where people want to have beach parties. We will see the consumption of alcohol to excess. There's nothing wrong with having a drink and enjoying yourselves, but sadly, some people do take it that one step too far. We also see the antisocial behaviour of barbecues on the beach, for example, and the mess and the littering that can leave behind where people don't clear up after themselves. But then we also have the antisocial behaviour that's committed by our local residents, if you like, where we have the youths going around committing shoplifting or committing criminal damage or causing disturbances towards their neighbours, etc. A part of it is the online social media element, which can be a catalyst and fuel some of the antisocial behaviour. I think, it's very much a case of a small proportion of our population or our youth are the ones that are committing that crime. You know, the youth of today are fantastic. There's so much positivity around them and what they do and what they contribute to society that I think it's wrong that we just focus in on that small element who are the ones ultimately that are causing that. And when it gets onto social media, that then is amplified to make it look worse than what it actually is.
During the most recent heatwave, a number of people were actually arrested and dozens moved on after thousands of people turned up at Viking Bay in Broadstairs. Superintendent Rob Marsh is head of the Strategic Prevention Command.
We've used our data from the last few years to inform where our spikes might be. So we know that particularly in some of the coastal towns, when the weather's nice, we're going to see perhaps increases in antisocial behaviour. And we've made sure that we've catered for it with policing response to that. So we've increased our resourcing, we've looked at changing shifts, we've made sure that officers have the powers to deal with it really, really robustly should it occur. We'll always make sure we maintain our core level of policing for what I would call as the sort of the daily requirement for that. So the public will not see calls for service not being answered because we're answering, you know, calls around antisocial behaviour or emerging issues. We're really well planned for it. We've made sure that our resources are pre-planned, a duty plan to tackle it where we know we're likely to have spikes. But yeah, we will not deter from everyday policing to police incidents that may occur.
Work is also underway to deter young people from committing offences. Chief Inspector Ian Swallow is the Thanet District Commander.
We believe in education. We believe in engagement and we believe in trying to make sure people understand the consequences of their action. We do not want to prosecute, especially young people, unless we absolutely have to. So we have a system whereby we will try and explain how people's behaviour is causing disproportionate harm. We can then step that up by using dispersal tactics or community protection warnings. But the message is quite clear that if all this engagement, education, and ways of trying to do it in the least way possible doesn't work, we will take prosecution action, and we will arrest and we will prosecute individuals for causing harm to the community. If we take, for example, the incidents that happened in Broadstairs over the half term week and over the bank holiday weekend, over 90 dispersals were issued as a result of some of the behaviour of some of the young people. We followed that up with community protection warnings, and we have already prosecuted individuals who we arrested for shoplifting that happened within the town. What we've noticed is, for example, some of those social media users who were perhaps inciting some of the behaviour that we saw have already come out and said that they didn't want to be causing any harm. So that shows a positive impact that we've had on them.
Well, you can let us know what you think of this proposed crackdown then. Will it actually work? Perhaps you live on the coast. What's the impact on the local community during the summer? You can leave a message on the story on the website or get in touch via our socials.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories, and a Gillingham woman who stabbed her neighbour 11 times with a kitchen knife in a row over noise has been jailed. Helen Tilcock was drunk when she left Sarah Hodges with multiple wounds outside her home in Barnsall Road last July. The 43-year-old was locked up for 6.5 years and given a 10-year restraining order. A Chatham woman who attacked and racially abused a man during a road rage attack has been given a driving ban. The other motorists filmed Michaela Young as she took her victim's keys and started screaming at him in July last year. The 27-year-old from Ealing Close also assaulted a police officer and has been placed on a 12-month community order. Firefighters called to tackle a blaze in Sittingbourne are no longer urging people to keep doors and windows closed. There was an awful lot of smoke after it broke out at a recycling centre near the retail park yesterday. 7 fire engines were used to put out the flames, and crews returned earlier today to check for hot spots. Now, a search is underway for a hit-and-run driver who left a pet dog with serious injuries near Dover. Sully, a 21-month-old Labrador, had to have a leg amputated after being struck by a van in the Whitfield part of town last month. Reporter Sam Lennon has been speaking to Sully's owner, Barry Gifford.
I was walking Sully through fields at the back and beyond of Whitfield Village because it was a really hot day. We went through one of the fields and walked through one of the rapeseed oil crops that's there. There's a pathway through it. As we were making our way through the path, Sully spotted something, I don't know what, and darted off to my left. It's not unusual, we've walked that path a million times before and nothing's ever, you know, we've never had any issues. I followed him, but literally it happened so quickly, sort of within 5 seconds I heard a van wheel screeching, and I heard a crunch collision, and then I heard Sully yelping. I raced sort of towards the sound. My view was impaired at that time because I was still within the field. As I got to the roadside, I saw the van that had hit Sully. I was shouting, sort of calling his name, and the van just sped off, leaving us in the middle of nowhere. Sully with severe injuries, bleeding, and basically left him fighting for his life in the middle of nowhere. Fortunately, my wife was in Dover at the time, and she was able to arrive on site within sort of 10 to 15 minutes. I called the vets in that time. We got to the vets, they were able to stabilise him, and then we had to get him over to an emergency vet for a surgeon to look at him to try to save the leg, but unfortunately the damage was so extensive, he had to have his leg amputated.
This must have been very distressing for you at the time and since.
Yeah, incredibly so. I fully appreciate that the driver may have had a split second to react to Sully appearing from the side of the field, but you know, he's well over 40 kilos, so he absolutely knew he hit my dog. And the fact that he left us in the middle of nowhere, you know, at that point in time, I thought, you know, we were going to lose him because of the size of the van and the impact. And Yeah, the vet said it was a miracle. He's still alive, really.
Well, police have told us an investigation is ongoing and they're keen to hear from anyone with dash cam footage.
Kent Online reports.
A man's suffered facial injuries in an alleged road rage attack in Gillingham. The victim says he was cut up by a car as he was driving along Rock Avenue on May the 16th. The driver and passenger then got out and punched him before kicking him while he was on the floor. Police are keen to speak to witnesses or anyone with dash cam footage. It's emerged an article on Kent Online led to the disappearance of a mum from Deal being reinvestigated. You may recall that Debbie Griggs was pregnant with her fourth child when she went missing from her family home in 1999. Well, a documentary on TV this weekend will explain how her family contacted police in 2015 after noticing she hadn't been included in a list of unsolved cases on the website. Her husband, Andrew, was convicted of murder 4 years later. You'll be able to watch that documentary on Sky Crime. It's feared we could face a chaotic summer on the roads in Kent with Operation Brock and possible delays caused by new border checks. There were long queues at the Port of Dover at the start of half term as passengers are now having to be processed for the EU's entry-exit system. A senior highways manager says problems could be compounded by people being reluctant to fly because of fuel uncertainties caused by the Iran war. Now, a skills hub has opened up in Kent in a bid to get young people, veterans and former prisoners into work. It's after recent stats revealed more than a million 16 to 24-year-olds are out of work, training or education. The facility at Hermitage Quarry in Maidstone will support projects like the Lower Thames Crossing. Lucy's been chatting to Sean Connor, who's the Managing Director of Gallagher Aggregates.
There's over a million non-employed teenagers out there looking for work at the moment. What they actually need is a kickstart, and they need the skills and the education to get them into these jobs in the first place. And this is what the Kent Skills Hub will do for Kent, is provide a pipeline of new talent, which is much needed in the construction industry.
How exactly does it work then, and how's it different to anything that's been done before?
So this is very different, and this is a site-based Kent Skills Hub. So the Skills Hub itself is based at the quarry in Maidstone. So your environment, your classroom is very much in the centre of industry. So that's a sort of twofold approach, where you have theory within a purpose-built classroom right in the middle of our quarry. And then outside of the classroom, you have a play pit of construction skills where you can learn to drive dumpers and diggers and excavators and learn your trade while being and seeing all around you the potential careers that you might have in the future. So it's very much hands-on. It's very much visible to the students and the people who need to upskill of what they can do in the future, rather than being in enclosed doors or in an industrial estate. We feel that it inspire them to, you know, meet their objectives of getting into work that way.
It sounds like a fantastic idea. And obviously you mentioned youth unemployment, which has been a big subject in recent weeks. We've been speaking about the number of people, young people, not in education, employment or training. Is that something you're hearing as well from young people you work with? Are they really struggling at the moment to get into work?
Yeah, I think we have a duty as employers and industry leaders to inspire them, to be honest, is that, you know, young people today have so many choices and wants in life that it's very hard to get them to pin down to choosing something. And so therefore we have a role in inspiring them to choose a career. And that choice needs to be supported by, you know, some really good theoretical and practical activity, so they can really feel what they're getting into and seeing if it's for them.
And just finally, what would your sort of advice or message be to young people who might be, have never considered a career in construction, but might listen to this and think that they'll apply?
Okay, so most people think of construction as driving a digger or pulling levers or digging a hole in the ground, which, you know, sounds a bit boring, and you know, young people today are not too keen on that, perhaps. But construction is high technology these days. There are so many varied roles in construction that people from all sorts of background could be interested in. So as well as digger, dumper drivers and roller drivers and quantity surveyors and foremen and managers that I need. I also need professional salespeople. I need for my commercial activities. We employ a scientist within our business who does all of our chemical testing. We have laboratory technicians. We have mixer drivers, HGV drivers. We have financial accountants. We have such a varied range of professions linked to the construction industry. So just because you don't fancy digging a hole doesn't mean you can't get into the construction industry. It's a growth industry. There's plenty of work out there to come. And I would urge all youngsters to really take a hard look at it.
Kent Online reports.
Plans have been put forward to make sure staff working on ferries at Dover have proper rest periods, fair pay and stronger protections. A consultation's underway on mandatory rights for seafarers working on the Channel route between the UK and France. It's after the government introduced a minimum wage commitment and measures to end fire and rehire practices. Bosses in Thanet have promised to make operational changes to tackle missed bin collection. Residents have been experiencing problems since a new recycling scheme was introduced for 27,000 households in April. The leader of the local council has admitted the service is not up to standard and says work's underway to fix it. Now, this is one of our most read stories on the website today. As we mark National Fish and Chip Day, a shop in Sittingbourne has been telling us how they've adapted to stay in business. Merino Fish Bar on London Road is celebrating its 30th birthday and has been nominated for three prizes at this year's English Fish and Chip Awards. Reporter Joe Crosley has been chatting to owner Andreas Matthew, who says things have changed a lot over the years.
When I first started off, you didn't have delivery services. It was mainly takeaway or dine-in. Now with delivery partners such as Uber Eats, Just Eat, Deliveroo, you know, less people go out. We're still busy. And also we have to adapt of the way our menu. You know, back 10, 15 years ago, we used to sell a lot more fish and chips, whereas now we sell the same amount of burgers as we do fish and chips, or, you know, we've got our Greek menu as well, which we sell a lot of. So it's all about adapting in this business.
You were telling me how you basically got rid of all your dad's decor.
Yeah, I mean, when I was about 16, 17, I remember coming into the restaurant and I was like, what is this decor? You know, he had curtains with fish on it, blue and white checkered tablecloths, you know. So it was all about modernising a little bit. So that's where I brought in my ideas, sort of modernising the restaurant, modernising the menu a little bit, you know. And yeah, we've done it all and yeah.
Fast forward to today. You've been nominated for
yeah,
awards.
We've
Can
been.
You tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, we first of all, I want to say thank you to all of our customers that have been voting. We wouldn't be able to be, you know, in this situation without them. But yeah, we've been put up for the best menu award, best dining fish and chips, and the best fish and chip shop in the south, which is absolutely amazing. We've never entered anything like this before. And yeah, we're just so grateful to all of our customers that have voted for us.
All the very best to the guys from Merino Fish Bar. The winners will be announced later this month.
Kent Online News.
Another wild bison project is being launched, this time in Cumbria. Five members of an existing herd near Canterbury have been moved up north to help restore wildlife. A new Greek-inspired garden has opened at Sissinghurst Castle in Kent. It features Mediterranean plants and trees, which are resilient to changing climates. It's also a ravine park, path and areas for pollinators. It completes a vision first set out by the owners of the site nearly 100 years ago. And thousands of people are expected in Canterbury tomorrow for Kent's biggest pride event. It'll start with a parade through the city centre from 11 before acts take to the stage in the Dane John Gardens. This year marks the event's 10th anniversary and a return to its traditional home after major work there last summer. Natasha Hamilton from Atomic Kitten will be headlining. She's been chatting to Ben Pierce from Getting You Home on our radio station KMFM.
First pride of the season. Debuting some new material, some new songs. Bringing my gorgeous dancers, Lily Rose and Maya. Can't wait.
I love it. I love that we've got a full show from you as well at Danger and Gunners. That's going to be something that's quite exciting for everyone listening. I know that much. Are you going to be bringing a bit of the old school nostalgic vibe with you, a bit of Atomic Kitten, a bit of the new stuff as well?
Of course, yeah. We'll do a little bit of nostalgia, some of the new stuff, get everyone involved, a little trip down memory lane, lots of fun.
Is there one... Can you pinpoint one, or maybe there's a couple Atomic Kitten songs now that just go off every time? Like, you just have to.
Hole Again. Like, Hole Again is the one that everyone loves. It's the nostalgic song that takes people back to a more simpler time when, you know, before mortgages and when you didn't get hangovers, you know, that time in life. But also right now is cheeky. It packs a punch and... people seem to love that.
And just reflecting back to Pride, obviously you said this is the first one of the year, but I know that you've performed at many a Pride. What is it about Pride events for you? What do you love the most about them?
The connection, the togetherness, everyone being free to be who they are in a safe space, no judgment, lots of fun and a celebration. Like, who doesn't want to be a Pride?
I know. And do you know what? I was in Canterbury earlier on today and the bunting is out. Every single shop has a display in the window. It's so colourful already, Canterbury. Yeah. And I think that's what I love about the guys at Canterbury Pride. They really do decorate the place up. Like, it's always a sight, isn't it?
Oh, I can't wait to come. And the LGBT community has just always been so supportive of myself and the girls. Like, we were really taken under the wing and like, just like kind of put on a pedestal. We were like, wow, like, what is this? Like, you really get us. We're not judged. Because within the industry back in the day, you know, being three Scousers or three girls from the Northwest, it was almost like a bit of a joke to some people, and we weren't really respected, but within the community we were, and we were like raised up, and we've just always, yeah, just always felt really safe. And I can't wait to sing my new music, because I know you're going to love it.
Have an amazing time if you're going along. Robin Noomi from KMFM Breakfast will also be there with Floor Filler Anthems, coming live from Pride at 7.
Kent Online Sports.
Footballer Maidstone's Alessia Russo's in the England squad for their next World Cup qualifier tonight. They travel to take on Spain. The Lionesses were 1-0 winners last time the sides met in April. Kickoff is at 8. And Gillingham are going to be playing Millwall in a pre-season friendly. The sides will meet at Priestfield on July the 21st. It follows an away game against Dover Athletic and a visit of Charlton earlier in the month. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. Don't forget to check out the very latest review from our secret drinker. Plus, head to the What's On pages for details of everything going on in the county this weekend. Hope you have a fantastic time. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.